All right, everybody, we're going to do a pretty quick turnaround right now on our congregational meeting. So if you're going to be able to stay, which we'd love for you to do, invite you to kind of find your seat. And if you need to get out of here for any reason, invite you to do that now. We're only going to take about 10 minutes to talk about what we need to talk about. But thanks for sticking around. It's an exciting time. This is the second of two congregation meetings that we did, the first being in October. We said at that one we were going to come again together in December. In October, both of these, like I said, connected to the Generosity Project. We gave a financial update in October. Now we want to give a little bit of an update on building stuff, where we are. We've hired an architect, and we want to tell you where we are and some of what we're learning in the process. And I want to remind us of kind of how we got to this moment, because we began this Generosity Project because we recognized a struggle that we were having with space. Space is a struggle that we've had with this building for a long time. It's not recent, because one of the gifts of this building is just it's an amazing space, but it was built in another day for another congregation with a different needs. And so we've struggled to match the way the space is used with the values we have as a church, things like hospitality and formation and the way the building is able to engage the broader community. So not only do we have a challenge with values, now we just need more of it, right? And so we felt like in this season of our life, we have the opportunity to both address the way the space reflects our values and add some space connected to those things. And so we knew that we needed to grow more space for formation, for our growing kids community, for the way we're seeking to do adult and youth formation around discipleship with institute classes and other things. We also have a deep need to address hospitality, the way we create space and have space to be in community here together, as well as welcome new and developing members of our community. We also have recognized the way that our community is hostile in some pretty significant ways. If you have any disabilities, we have a really challenging building to navigate. And if you ever in this building have a full bladder, you also have a tough time dealing with the reality of that. And so our plan was to try and address all those things. And we talked, when we started talking about it in February with you, about the idea of a three-phased plan, the first phase being a separate addition that would go into the parking lot here and be adjoined to the building for all kinds of purposes to do that, eventually to address City Church across the street, which we own, likely demolishing that building, reorienting the space for additional parking and some green space connected to that, and then finally to renovate, update, do deferred maintenance on the current facility that we're in here. But as the architects looked into what is actually possible, you guys, we learned some things that are really important. Some of you might remember a number of weeks ago during this sexuality series, I used this triangle as an example. Life, pick two, you know, you can get two of those things, but it's impossible to get all three of them. Well, we learned that this is also true as it relates to building projects. We can either do money, code, or space. And as priorities play out, here's what we learned. Code is the most important, followed very briefly, right there, by money. Those two things really determine what we're able to do with our space. And so what we learned was a large addition that erases half our parking lot is prohibitive from a code perspective. In fact, we're already undercoded for what the parking we do have, and so to then lose half of it makes it even worse, which is not doable. And then the cost of an additional large addition is also required some new thinking. So we have a revised conceptual design that I want to update you on and then show you a little bit. Essentially, it features a smaller addition than what we had initially planned, and then reconfiguring almost every other space in this building in a new way. Totally renovating this specific space here. The new addition would open up space immediately out of the sanctuary for connection. There'd be a cafe, a place to congregate and welcome and do hospitality. There'd be loads of bathroom space. Very important. We would also consolidate other spaces. So we'd probably put the kids at the end of this main floor hallway and then almost completely fill the entire basement with kids' stuff. We would have our offices on our third floor, and then classrooms and conference rooms spread through both this floor and the top floors in a multi-purpose kind of way. We love how this new reconceptualized design works, but it doesn't solve everything. There's still more space that we need, particularly for our youth and youth ministry, for the arts and the recording studio, the way things that we want to do there, and a growing counseling ministry that we feel is a part of our calling here. It won't all fit into the current space. So rather than demolishing the space across the street, we're looking now at renovating the city church space to meet those needs for youth and arts and counseling, the studio, and to really transform it from what now is a hostile space to another hospitable space, and then work on ways to tie these two spaces, the campuses, together in some pretty creative ways. So let me just give you what we received earlier this week from Clockwork, who is the architecture firm that we've hired. The entrance to the building, the primary entrance, would shift then from what is here to what would then be out here, and it would look something like this. And so the parking would be streamlined, and we'd come in through there, and you can see that kind of large thing going up, whatever that's called. It's an elevator shaft is what that would be. And then that would become the main entrance to our building, as then the main interior shot that I want to show you is that as you left the sanctuary then, what you'd see is the following. And it takes a little minute to orientate what we're seeing there. Essentially, what we're doing is, there's all these people. I don't know who any of these people are. So confusing to me. Where this young lady in the black tank top there is, that's the main entrance now as it stands. So you see, and there's the hallway going down. Then there's a sliding door, a big kind of movable door to the right. That's where the chapel is now, the prayer chapel would be. Straight ahead and against the wall back there, you'd see what would be our cafe. Lots of social space here. The entrance over here, the stairway up to the balconies. Everybody kind of following what's happening there. We're going to try and get these to you in a way that allows you to look at them a little bit more in depth. But it's a really wonderful kind of opening up of the space for a lot of the ways we're talking about. There'll be a lot more to see related to that. Let me just also give you a brief oversight of the overall site plan. So as you see, the parking lot now is streamlined, parking up to code. It extends exactly across and then curves around. So we more than double our parking in City Church. We also would then repurpose and have plenty of green space, the City Church space. And then if you look at the current building, notice that kind of large black square rectangle there. That's the addition. That would be what would be added onto and what we'd extend out into. So like I said, we'll be getting more information to you, but let me now talk briefly about some of the implications connected to these. One is, instead of being phased over three phases, first, second, and third, we would need to do this in pretty rapid succession to make it happen, which will pose for us some interesting challenges. I don't want to get into them today, but even in those, I'm super excited about the opportunity our community is going to have in those challenges to continue to grow and exercise our faith. Just a couple more things from us. We are just now beginning to connect some of these designs to real costs, and so that will be the next phase of this, is to have different construction companies to give us bids on what they think these kinds of things will cost. And as we get those, we'll also be communicating to them. It's obviously a big part of it, and we want to keep you up to speed. And the way that we wanted to do this is just progressively letting you know as we know kind of what's happening here. Let me also say this. All this is enabled, you guys, through your responsiveness to the Generosity Project that we began over a year ago this time. And I want to continue to keep that part in front of us, because what we felt like we were doing when we started taking these steps is responding to an opportunity that God was putting in front of us as a community. We'd seen five-year increments where we felt like God was inviting our church to do something new, to take a step. And so we talked about being time to grow and time to risk and time to give and time to act. And this is a continuation of that. And the reason that we've been able to do this is because of your ongoing participation, not just in our life, but financially in every regard. It's been really significant. And it's the end of the year. And generosity is an incredibly important thing. And I think it's one of the things that we discovered was incredibly important to not just the leadership of our church, but to our church. And yet, as we all know, generosity, always important, rarely urgent, as Jim says, yes? And we're at a time of the year where we think about giving, but we also have to think a lot about spending and getting. And so it's easy to push that way, and it's an important time of the year for our church as we're financially trying to respond to both the needs that we have and the opportunities that are in front of us. So I want to continue to ask you to continue being faithful as you participate with us in our financial life here together and all the things that we're doing. I personally continue to be incredibly grateful for your participation in that way. And I also want to continue to invite you and ask you for your continued participation. And if you've not yet had the opportunity to grow and to step into this kind of adventure with us, to invite you to start. It's been an amazing thing for our community. Towards that end, I want to invite Jim to come up and just share a couple practical ways that giving works at Jacob's Well. And then once he's done that, I'm going to close this in prayer and we'll be done for this afternoon.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for staying up. I'm just going to talk just a couple minutes about kind of some practicality. One thing that's important, we don't have a building fund, and we don't have a, you can't give to the building fund. We're doing everything in terms of a one fund approach. Everything we do here we think is important. So a couple months ago, we told about green lighting our project in Africa for housing for the school that we bought. That's going to happen. And also things like the building addition and all that stuff, it's all wrapped into one thing. So ending the year well is very important. All goes into our one fund. And I just want to say practically how it happens here. Just if you've never gotten on board or participated, here's the ways you can give. There's boxes in the back. You can put checks or cash there, of course, and we can take care of that. Secondly, you can do it online through our Jacob's Well online thing. So this is what our website looks like, where it says log in. Log in there. There's Jake Wells. He logs in. There's a little dollar sign on the left. He clicks that. And then it's a real simple thing. If you want to make a repeating gift through your checking account and you fill that thing out, it works really well. Probably 30 to 40% of our gifts come in this way. You can also give with a credit card. We also have a kiosk out here. Or if you click on the online thing, you see that. That's a real simple way also. We just want to open up all the avenues of ways that you can give to Jacob's Well, make it easy for you. This is a time of year when I think it's easy to reevaluate kind of where you are, where you want to be for this next year. And we would just encourage you to do that. Two things I want to add. I just got an email yesterday from someone who works at a company that does matching gifts. We're a 501c3. All churches are 501c3s. And his organization, he just sent me a form, says, will you fill out this paperwork for a matching $5,000 gift? The answer is, yes, I will, okay? So if you have that type of thing, take time to do that. It's wonderful. Secondly, some people have stock that is appreciated or stock that they have available that they could gift. We have a way to do that. Through a Scott Trade account. It's a great way to maximize your giving. We probably received about $30,000 to $40,000 this year through stock gifts. So just an encouragement. There's a sheet with all the details I've mentioned on that counter if you want to just take that with you to kind of look at that overview. But thanks for your generosity. Remember, it's just one big fund, all big happy family. Okay, back to you, Tim.
I will just point out that on the table out in the foyer there, there is both information about how to give. There's also information about the Generosity Project, what it is and what we're doing. Also, the financial information that we gave in October, the financial update that shows kind of both in color graphs and in actual numbers, Excel spreadsheets for people who are able to read such things, that is out there for you to look at and see. It's a very encouraging, praise God, kind of report. So excited about that and excited to be on this journey with you guys. Just continue to take these steps. Will you join with me in closing in prayer? God, thank you for this day, this season where we are invited to slow down, to be attentive to the ways that you're reaching out to and bringing your life into our life. Lord, we pray that we would have courage to see the stones in our lives that are covered, to know that you are present with us in those places, that you offer us a new story and a new life, as Isaac so profoundly shared with us today. And Lord, thank you for the way that you don't just leave us in the ground, you don't just carry us out, but then you invite us to follow you and to join you in your work in the world. Lord, that's what we want to do. That's what this is about. And so we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless and lead us as a church as we seek to discern your leading and follow you in obedience. It's in your name and for your sake we pray, Jesus. Amen.